I'm very happy now to welcome Gloria Abela Balan. She is author of the new book, The Power of the Hebrew Alphabet, and her work will be shown at the Waxlander Gallery starting tomorrow. It's at 622 Canyon Road, and there will be an opening on Sunday, the 9th of February, of the works from this book, the artworks from this book. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So this is basically an artistic book which represents a kind of exploratory journey that you did of the Hebrew alphabet. How did this project begin?
Yes, it's really interesting for me because I am a painter originally, and I started including some Hebrew letters in my paintings. But then one morning I woke up and I told my husband, this is really incredible. I had the most fantastic dream. I felt that all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet were coming out of my head and becoming huge once they went into space. And I sat there and I thought, I wonder what this means. So I'm not really a word person, you know, I'm very much a visual individual. So I said, well, I better go to my studio and make a drawing of it. So this is a drawing that I made of myself sleeping with all these letters. And I still, when I think about it and when I talk about it, I have the same feeling in my head. It's really a fantastic kind of thing. So at some point then, I was at Oxford University at the Bodleian Library. They have a very interesting collection. They call it the Oriental Studies Library. And it happens that everything that is written in Hebrew, it's put into the Oriental Library. I don't know why, but, you know, that's the way the British system. So I went to look at the Hebrew manuscripts that were written in the Middle Ages and a little bit later in the early 1400s in Spain, Spanish Jewish manuscripts. And I found a Bible, a Hebrew Bible, that was all illuminated, absolutely beautiful, with a very tiny, what is called micrography, where some of the Masorah, you know, some of these writings were done in beautiful leaves. And animals that were sort of like exotic kind of animals, but they were all done with letters. So I, you know, the months that I spent there, I was looking at all these and I was really internalizing all this. Then I had received a book done by Ben Shah, the great American artist, and it was The Alphabet of Creation. And his book was very much very graphic, but black and white, and very beautiful. So that sort of like tickled my imagination. And I thought, you know, it would be great to do a book on the Hebrew alphabet, but in color. I mean, I come from a very, you know, from an area of the world that is so rich in vegetation and beautiful flowers and so on and so forth. So that colors and textures and all this intermingling of these very sensual kind of things brought me to do this Hebrew alphabet, but the way that generally it has not been done, which is, you know, with all these colors and textures and the letters, because in the idea that, like in the Bible itself, like in the scrolls, they have to be black ink and they have to be perfect. If you have a letter that has a little mistake or that is missing something, that scroll is not used. You cannot use it for service. So when I looked at these Bibles, of course they were not scrolls, these Bibles that I looked and these prayer books, they were from Spain, from Jewish Spain. They had been done for families who were you know, wealthy and educated and so on. So that's, in a way, one of the reasons why you can have all this illumination and, you know, all those things, because it's not to use in service.
Right.
Yeah, it was a personal, it was a family kind of, yeah. So I started then studying a lot, you know, reading a lot about the Zohar, you know, the Book of Splendor or the Book of Radiance, which was written in Spain also at the end of the 13th century by Moshe de Leon. And of course, all that says that the world was made by the Hebrew letters, that all the letters sort of like got together to make the world. So to me, that's such a beautiful image.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, well, you know, words make literature. Words, you know, through words, we can make worlds.
Right. I mean, it's a symbolic thing, but I was thinking, I mean, human beings are so, in a way, kind of hubristic about ourselves. You know, we had the Big Bang, and we had the formation of galaxies, and we had the formation of this planet and water, and then eventually tiny forms of life and the primordial soup giving way to amphibians, and, you know, in tiny, tiny recent bits of geological time, mammals and then primates, and then finally human beings come along, and then human beings make words and languages, and then we think we made the rest of the world.
You're right. You know, it's very interesting. Yes, but again, it's through words that we explain all that. You know, it's through words that we explain research.
Right.
You know, so it's the words make. You know, and like the sages say that every person has, and every Jew has, a letter in the Torah that is in the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. Every Jew has a letter. That's why letters and names are so important in the Jewish tradition.
So all of this informs a kind of, I mean, when you go through the book, it feels like there was a spiritual, contemplative, artistic process that took a long time, in which you kind of contemplated the mystical meaning or the personal meaning of each of these letters.
Yes. You have expressed it in a very beautiful way. Yes, that's what it is. It took, I mean, like for me to make this book, it took years. It's not that all of a sudden I say, oh, you know, that's a nice letter, I'm going to make a drawing of it, or no. It's really thinking and feeling all that is behind the meaning of the letter. And in a way, it's like when you meditate, it's like meditating upon those meanings and how those meanings influence our thought and our actions, because words are so rich and so powerful. Every word carries or has its own energy. That's why, you know, it's really important when you talk about something to be very careful. What are the words that you use? Because those energies, those words go into the world of energy, and they can affect. And words affect, you know, beautiful words can be like pearls in the ocean.
And horrible words can injure
destroy.
And harm, yeah.
Yes, can destroy. So that's why, you know, in Judaism there is something that is called Lashon Hara, which is, you have to be careful, you cannot talk bad about somebody, or you have to be really careful, because you can injure not only the person that you're talking about, but the person that you're telling, and yourself.
Would that we all lived up to that ideal.
Oh, that would be wonderful. But, you know, that's why we put ideals, to try to reach them, to work on it. And meditation is a way of working on life.
Now, Did you grow up speaking Hebrew and knowing these letters? Is this a long-term part of your own story?
Knowing the letters, yes. You know, that's something that when you're Jewish, I mean, that's what, you know, you learn these letters. Some people learn them more than others. You know, it depends what's your level of observance. I come from a Sephardic family that some of my grandmothers came from Spanish Jewish Northern Morocco, but then they migrated. You know, I mean, the history of humanity is a history of migration, and for Jewish people, it's triple and quadruple.
Right. And so these letters and these words are part of your history and part of a shared history of people from so many different countries. And it was interesting to me that you really worked with your daughter on this project.
Well, my daughter had lived in Jerusalem. And my daughter is, she's a singer and she's a researcher on Spanish, on Judeo-Spanish. Judeo-Spanish women's songs. So when I was doing this project, I was talking a lot with her, and she has studied a great deal, you know, Torah, and, you know, she has studied Talmud and, you know, all those things. She was really very interested in all this at depth, so that she would we would discuss some things, and sometimes she would come up with some concepts that would enrich my understanding. Yeah, I think that is very interesting that generally parents teach the children, and in this case, I felt so privileged to have my daughter have such an extended knowledge on this subject. So also we were invited to Herzliya to do a project, a mother-daughter project, since we both are artists, you know, she's in the music and I'm in the visual arts, so to create a project, and we created something that was based on galut, on exile, on migration, and I did all the visuals, and we had all kinds of screens and all that. And she was doing the part of the singing. And we had interviews with different people that had gone to, you know, move from their countries to different areas of the world, and also to Israel, people who came from different places in the past. And so we had all those voices, but they were all women's voices, because we know that women generally keep the culture, and they are the transmitters. Yeah. So by doing this, we were able, and being in Israel and traveling to different places, because we brought this project, the piece, you know, it was called Seas of Change. This piece, we brought it all over, you know. And it was very interesting, because this happened when the Second Intifada had started. So it, at the same time, it made me think a lot about the Judaism and, you know, and all the pieces, and moving from one place to the other and all that. So I think in a way, these kind of experiences, when you move, but then when you move from one country to the other, I've lived in various countries, you live from one country to the other, and then you sort of like start all over. There is a core that remains. There is a core that really stays there, and that keeps you, and that you know that you can do it.
And that core was strengthened by your connection to Judaism.
Yes.
And to,
yes,
these, yes, letters, which are expressed in this book, which is, yes, a very visual, I mean, it really is an art book. Each page has both words and drawings and paintings and, I think, collage. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how you did it, but if people want to go see it, they can start tomorrow. It will be up at the Waxlander Gallery on Canyon Road. And it'll be there for what? How long?
To the 17th.
The 17th of February. And there's an opening on the 9th of February from 2 to 5 at the Waxlander Gallery. Now, how big are the pieces that are in this book?
Oh, like they're about 20 by 21.
And oh, okay.
0.58.
Right, so a little bit bigger than the book itself, but the book is just a beautiful piece published by Gaon Books here in Santa Fe.
Yes.
Good, well, what happens next? Are you going to try to bring this exhibition beyond Santa Fe?
I have already some invitations in different states to go and talk. I do like a PowerPoint presentation of the book, some of the influences and so on. And so I'm going to California, and I'm going to be also in early April in Albuquerque at the Federation, and in El Paso.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to different places, yes, and take the box. And it's a book that is not only for Jewish people.
Right.
Because if you have the Bible, you know, and the Bible even for the Abrahamic traditions, you know, you use up to what Christians call the Old Testament, which for us is the five books of Moses. So this, it's done with the same letters.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, that it's the letters that influence David and Solomon. And
well, the book is called The Power of the Hebrew Alphabet by Gloria Abella Balan. And it is published once again by Gaon Books, which is at gaonbooks.com. And I just want to thank you so much for this beautiful book and for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.